You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who writes checks his mouth can't cash, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. It's just the kind of guy I am. Always running off at the mouth and writing checks my butt can't cash. Hey, how are you? Hope you have a great day today, folks. It's a little rainy out there, but it feels like fall, which isn't a terrible thing. It's still a beautiful day in many ways. However you're finding us tonight, welcome to Nightlight, whether you're listening on the app, the stream, or over the good old-fashioned radio. It is great to have you here tonight. We're going to have a fun show, and hopefully the conversation tonight on the show will help dry things up in your world. Is it bad all over Wisconsin, Conrad? Do we know that? I should probably look that up before I come on the air.
Well, Green Bay, it's bad, so.
All right, he's not the best weatherman in the business for nothing. You're no Brittany Merlot. So anyway, hope you're having a great day, folks. Welcome to Nightlight. Great show tonight. Lots of fun. We got a great question, a couple really fun guests, and I'm going to tell you about all of that momentarily, but let's let Conrad get his Brewer feelings out of the way first before we get to all that. Let's get the negative energy out of the way. A tough loss to a good team and their ace, which, is he going to pitch one more time? Maybe two, I guess, he'll be in short rest.
Yeah, you know, it was a game that you didn't see too many hits
right.
For either team, really. It was a pitching battle until we brought in one of our bullpen pitchers, Chad Patrick, and he was facing Freddie Freeman, so Freddie Freeman's like one of the best players in the MLB, so
okay.
I don't blame Chad Patrick, but it was a home run, obviously. And that was the deciding factor, pretty much. Like, you know, it was just...
That's brutal.
Yeah, until we finally got the bats going in the ninth inning. Which only leaves you three outs.
Yeah. But you only lost by one run, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, we got one walked in. Or not walked in. They did.
Right.
They got one walked in. We got one in the regular way, I guess.
Well, it's a 7-game series. You got time.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? Like, and is it 2-3-2?
Yeah. It is three. Once we go to LA, it's three games.
It's three. So you got tonight is a must win. However, even when you're on, I think in baseball, when you're on another team's field, that team, they're still not going to win 3-0. That's a tough draw.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, the Brewer. You just went through puberty in the air. That's a tough draw because, I mean, and I don't like this format. I like how I was talking about this with a friend of mine the other day. It used to be 2-2-1-1-1. I know that's more travel, but I feel like that's truly a better advantage. It's more fair to both teams, I guess.
I love that because they do that in the NBA.
Do they? I thought they did 2-3, or they do 2-3-2 for the finals in the NBA, right?
It's 2-2-1-1-1 in the playoff basketball.
Oh, it didn't used to be like that.
It is. Yeah, that's how they do it.
Wow.
Don't they? Yeah, yeah. Okay, I just had to think about it in my head for a second.
Yeah.
No, yeah, they do that. And they also get more rest than baseball.
True.
Because, I mean, we played a game last night and there's a game tonight, so.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting.
Yes.
Good luck to the Brewers tonight.
Go Crew.
Bears
looked pretty good last night, too.
I don't know if they look good.
The defense looked good.
The defense stepped up when they had to. I did not think they looked good, but that makes the win all the more impressive because it was on the road in slop. They had dumb penalties. And, you know, I guess Washington's a good team. I don't care. Well, Daniels is great, you know.
He just had a little mistake there at the end that cost him the game.
He did. And usually it's the Bears doing that, so I'll take it.
Yeah, you're probably like really happy about that.
I was like, wow, for once. Okay, here we go. But then they bring in a backup kicker. I'm like, oh, no, it's like a chip shot.
Moody, right?
And what a nice guy. I never even heard this guy talk, but after the game they interviewed him, like, he's just like this soft-spoken. I was like, I always root for kickers. I feel like it's so much pressure. I know all they do is kick. They take a lot of abuse. But that is a ton of pressure. It's not like missing a block out of 60 blocks in a game. It's like missing a kick is like, I don't know.
The kicker that got signed last week for the Packers, he was thinking about going back to substitute teaching before he got signed.
See, there you go. And now that guy's going to make a kick, and you're like, I don't know.
He made a bunch of good kicks, so good for him.
Yeah. No, I root for those guys for sure. All right, so tonight, folks, at 6:35, this will be fun. I've been waiting to do a deep dive into this movie since I saw it. One battle after another, Leonardo DiCaprio, Regina King, Sean Penn, newcomer Chase Infinity, this another newcomer kind of to the world of movies, Teyana Taylor, and Benicio Del Toro, just a phenomenal movie from Paul Thomas Anderson. And my guest tonight, I believe, has seen it like 5 times already. It's been out 2 weeks. So I'm going to talk to Ben Reiser about that. Ben is one of the programmers at UW Cinematheque, a great program in Madison. You've heard me talk about it. And he's one of the programmers for the Wisconsin Film Festival. An absolute movie nut. And he sees a ton of films. And I love talking movies with Ben. He'll be here at 6:30. And then at 7:35 or 7:20, we've got Mike Kenneth.
7:20.
7:20.
Yes.
Are we sure about that? I hope Mike's sure about that. I don't know what I told him. But Mike Kenneth from Comedy Sports in Milwaukee will be here. He is one of the directors slash coaches at Comedy Sports, a Milwaukee institution. And Mike will be here. He's always fun to have on the show. And we'll find out what's going on with Comedy Sports and about their upcoming events and all kinds of fun stuff. And we got a question of the night that I think is going to be really fun. We always do well with the food questions. Huge stars and food, people just come out in droves to respond to. So let's get to tonight's question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
It's National Dessert Day, folks. What is your favorite dessert? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What is your favorite dessert? You can also text us on the app. Very easy to use. Comes in handy, too, when we do our text-to-win contests here at Civic Media. So definitely get the app if you don't have it. And then if you're listening on the stream, too, you can drop us a stream comment over Facebook, YouTube, or X, and we will read your text on the radio. What is your favorite dessert? Why don't you lead us off today, Conrad?
It's a classic. And it has to be this way, too. It can't be a different way, all right?
Okay.
It has to be a hot brownie.
Oh, yeah.
With ice cream on top.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And my second one, I wouldn't call it maybe a dessert, but I think it is banana bread.
Oh, yeah.
Warm banana bread with some butter on it.
That could be a great breakfast, like with coffee or a dessert. I love banana bread.
It's so good.
It's outstanding. But what made you think of that?
My mom used to make it all the time, and I miss that banana bread.
Nice. Could she make some in Florida and send it to you?
I think she should. Mom, if you're listening.
Come on, Paula. All right. Mine is hands down, and I'm a little biased because lately I've been into it, but key lime pie.
Oh, yes.
On my dessert days, cheat days, whatever you want to call them, I am firing up some key lime pie, and it is dynamite. I love, love, love key lime pie.
Key lime is, it's good in any form.
Yeah.
It doesn't, not just pie.
True.
Flavors, it's great, no matter
what.
Absolutely.
I was in Florida years ago when I was doing stand-up, and a family friend, I stopped by to see her, and she gave me a key lime, and I kept it in my car for like a month, driving all over the South, and I would just smell it. It smelled so, key lime is just heavenly. That's my dessert, but I will say this, that brownie with ice cream over it, like a lava cake,
yeah,
that's pretty good too. So let us know what you think, folks. Tell us your favorite dessert. And Conrad found kind of a fun thing we can do here, too. Tell us what this is again. You explained it to me.
It's a tier list.
A tier list, okay.
And it's S is the top, okay? The best of the best. Nothing beats it. So usually only there's one in it, you know?
Okay.
A is kind of like, it's good, not on the highest level. B is it's like, okay, it's getting like, I'll eat it. Not my favorite. C is like, eh. And then D is just, I hate it.
So it goes S?
S,
then
yes.
The typical scholastic ABC. Yeah. Oh, that's kind of strange. All right, but S is the best.
Yes.
To me, that says satisfactory, and I saw that all over my report card when I was a kid. So, okay.
So I have a few items here that we could put this in the list and then kind of put it out there.
Let's do it.
So the first one is cookies, and it's chocolate chip that it shows.
Boy, it's hard to go against the all-American dessert. Is this warm chocolate chip cookies out of the oven or just in general? I guess like we could Chips Ahoy?
No, it looks homemade.
Okay,
it doesn't homemade look like, chocolate chip doesn't look like the stuff you get at the store, you know?
I'm going to put that in. I'll give that an A.
Yeah, I would say that too. Yeah. The only thing I say is sometimes they get, like, you can have it too much, you know?
Right.
So, all right, we have that in A. The next is, it just is chocolate cake.
Well, so you put it in A as well?
Yeah, I agree
all
with
right,
you.
Chocolate cake.
Yeah.
If last week we did this, your favorite kind of cake, if we did chocolate cake with cream cheese frosting, that to me is an S. But
really?
is it chocolate, just chocolate or what?
It looks chocolate, but I think we could put it any way we want.
All right, I'm going to go S if it's got cream cheese frosting.
I would say S because I like ice cream cake better.
Oh, that's good too.
So
yeah.
We could settle at A, I think, and kind of.
Okay.
All right.
Well, wait. I went S. So I've got one S, one A. You put them both in A.
Oh, are we
A.
doing it? I thought we were combining both of ours. And.
Oh, we're like sharing a score.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
we do that.
So we kind of, yeah. So I'd put that at A. You put that at S.
We'll give it an A plus.
So that goes above chocolate chip cookies in the A category.
Yes. So far, chocolate cake is number one. Okay.
The next one is brownies. I'm going to go S on that. Because it's my favorite. Hot brownies with... It doesn't have ice cream on it, though. So it's just warm brownies.
So I'll go A.
A?
I would go A. So we've got a tie between those two. Okay.
So we just got all A's right now.
That's right.
And this is the one where I think we're going to maybe agree on.
Okay.
Fudge.
Straight up fudge?
I'd put that at C. I'm not a huge fan of fudge.
Have you ever had Mackinac Island fudge?
I've had a bunch. Yeah, I think so.
Fudge on its own? To keep things simple, I'll go C, but probably it's a...
If you want to go B, I mean, we'll kind of just...
What would that make it, like a C plus?
We'll put that at a high C. How about that?
Sure. High C, by the way, is not on my list at all. Okay.
I love high C.
All right, next one.
Ice cream. And this looks like a single serve. I mean, they kind of put a picture of like a McDonald's one.
So you know, like with the ice, cone. Soft serve, with ice the, milk.
With the cone and...
Wow.
I'd probably put this at a B just because you can never get it.
Yeah, ice cream is there's so many different kinds. Like if it's Moose Tracks, love it. A good chocolate peanut butter, forget it. That's an S for me. So this I would put it in a B overall ice cream.
It's just, it's vanilla. So I guess, yeah, we could just.
No, vanilla, it's like a C. If it's just vanilla, that would be my.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. Behind the fudge. Or above the fudge.
Depending on the ice cream, above the fudge.
Well, it just looks like McDonald's ice cream.
Then below the fudge.
All right. I think we can get one more in before the break here.
All right, let's do it.
S'mores.
Oh wow. Here's the problem with s'mores for me. When I'm patient, they taste heavenly. But most of the time, I'm hungry, and I'll stick it. I'll singe the marshmallow, and it's tough on the inside. A perfectly cooked s'more, I'll give a B.
This is what I will say. I really like s'mores. I think they taste great. But I hate when I always, every single time, you have to wash your hands to get that sticky off, and I hate that. So I would say B because I don't like that part, but it does taste heavenly.
All right. We agree on the s'mores. Perfect. That was fun. Desserts, folks, what's your favorite one? Text us and let us know. We're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday evening, a rainy Tuesday evening, at least in downtown Green Bay. I hope it's nicer where you are, but it is great to have you here. We covered a little bit of brewer talk, and now we are doing a, we have a couple more desserts to put in our tier list. So far, are you keeping track? I've got the, an S is just the chocolate spice cake for me, and you had the chocolate brownie with the ice cream, right?
Yeah, so we don't have any official S's yet because we didn't agree on the S.
Okay, fair enough.
So.
All right, very good.
All right, this one next is an S for me.
Okay.
Pie.
Just, here's my issue. General pie? Like, I like pie, but I don't like all kinds of pie. I don't want, like, meat cake.
Okay, how about pumpkin pie?
Pumpkin pie with whipped cream.
It's just a staple.
For me, it's an A.
Oh, okay.
On the right time of year, Christmas, Thanksgiving, sure. That's an S for you.
Okay. That's an S for me. We'll put that at A behind the chocolate cake and the cookies.
Okay.
All right. I think I can't remember if we decided, but I think it's a Danish.
Oh yeah, that was tough. But it's not a dessert, really, is it? I like a Danish in the morning. I'm a pastry guy.
Okay. So pastries? I guess we could just general pastries.
B.
As
a dessert. I mean, as morning with coffee, it's an A plus.
Oh, well, okay.
Or a nice donut.
I mean, that's hard to argue with because I don't have those at night. But when I have those in the morning, it makes me a little
happier. Gets your day off right.
It makes me a little happier.
Gives you the energy you need.
I think I could put that at an A plus or an S for the morning.
For the morning, an A plus, I would say.
A plus. Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
The last one. Last one. Cupcakes.
Again, it depends on the cupcake. But a cupcake done right, my favorite kind of cupcake, that's an A plus too. I only have one S really, and it's the chocolate cake with the cream cheese.
I guess we should just put both of our S's in the S category.
All right, let's do that.
Okay.
That works.
So it's chocolate cake and brownies in the S.
This is some good bartering going on here. This is like, we would have done really well if we were pilgrims.
So cupcakes for you, I guess it just looks like a plain cupcake with some cream cheese frosting on it. You know, that's all it looks like.
Cream cheese. All right. Fair enough. I'll say an A plus.
I would say B.
B. Okay.
So above s'mores in the.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Above s'mores and behind pie.
Okay. So you're going to put that on Facebook?
I'll put that on Facebook and comment what you guys
feel free to comment.
Yeah,
tell us where we went wrong. I'm not really sensitive about this list, so you can tear into us if you like, folks, but be part of it and let us know what you think. But our question of the night, kind of piggybacking on this, is what is your favorite dessert? I said key lime pie. Conrad said chocolate brownie with ice cream, but it sounds like pumpkin pie is up there too. I have to tell you, I found something I love. And it's YouTube highlights. Do you ever do that after a game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess more. I watch like a general of all the games to see what big plays I missed or something.
But if your team, like I've discovered I like this, like one of the Cubs wins over the Brewers, I couldn't see. I didn't get home in time. So I went to the highlights. It's 15 minutes. You know the outcome, so that stress is gone. And it's just pure joy. So I would say every game, they put highlights on YouTube. And it's like you see all the best parts of the game without the pressure of thinking your team is going to lose. I'm not crazy. I don't watch the losing highlights. That would be insane. You know, I'm not breaking down tape at home. So I like that. But I will say I'm in a mood today because I showed up here tonight. As you know, I don't have my glasses, which is making life difficult. And I woke up this morning finding out I owed a lot more on my taxes. And I can't write off. There are billionaire companies not paying taxes. Apple, Exxon, whatever. Every year it changes. I can't write off mileage from Marinette to Green Bay. If I think about it enough, I might take hostages. It really bothers me.
Oh.
So I just got to pay up, man. You cannot fight Uncle Sam, Conrad. That's my lesson to you. So I got to get over that. But man, that would be nice if I could... And I'm almost equally as annoyed with myself for forgetting my glasses. Okay, so we've got Ben Reiser coming up at 6:35. We're going to talk about many movies, but we're going to start with one battle after another. We'll tell you what's coming up at Cinematheque and Mike Kauth at 7:20. He will be here to tell us about comedy sports. So we're repping Madison, we're repping Milwaukee. It's going to be a fun show here at Nightlight. And our question of the night, your favorite dessert, please let us know. I have to say, too, Ed Gein, we got to talk about this. I don't know when we're going to do this, but apparently they are smearing one of our weirdest sons. It's like Netflix has taken so many liberties with this guy. Like, is it not weird enough that he robbed graves and killed multiple people? They gotta fabricate stuff. They're saying apparently on Netflix that Ed Gein gave a tip that caught Ted Bundy. And admittedly, I'm not an Ed Gein guy.
I don't know who would be.
But I thought he was like 80 years ago. But he was around apparently when Ted Bundy was doing his nonsense too and being a serial killer. And that's false. Like, why do you have to make that stuff up? It comes out immediately now that you're lying.
I don't know.
It's so bizarre.
I'm probably won't watch that series.
I just read that. I won't watch it either, especially now that I know it's not true. But I just find that crazy. I don't know why you would do that. All right, so our question of the night, what is your favorite dessert? And Dave in DeForest. That's our Dave. That's our stream Dave. Sid's pal. He says ice cream cake. Conrad, you got a kindred spirit there.
That's my favorite.
Edward in the 414 says spotted dick. Spongy British deliciousness. He could be making that up and I have no idea. And I just said the D word.
I have no idea what that is.
I just said the D word on the radio. But apparently it's a thing. Spotted dick. You can say private dick, whatever. Dave also says Dairy Queen.
Yeah, the ice cream cake from Dairy Queen.
That's really good.
Or just the blizzards from there, too.
Or the Caravel. I think it's Caravel. You can get them at, like, grocery stores. Anna from Madison. Hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite dessert is cheesecake, any kind. I'm with you, Anna. That would be an A-plus for me, Conrad, by the way. All right, we're coming right back with Ben Reiser after the news. Don't go anywhere, folks. We're talking movies. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. We are definitely doing it up this Tuesday night. It's a rainy, chilly night. It feels like fall in Wisconsin. So what better time of the day, of the season, whatever, than to talk movies? And joining me now on the show is one of my favorite friends to talk movies with. He is one of the programmers at UW Cinematheque in Madison, a great program. And he also is one of the programmers of the Wisconsin Film Festival, and he's a podcast host. You can check out his podcast, The Lifers, or 70 Movies We Saw in the 70s. He'll correct me if that's wrong. He joins me now over the stream, Mr. Ben Reiser. Hey, buddy.
Hey, I'm happy to not have to correct you. That was perfect.
I thought I got it, but, you know, it was a mouthful.
70 Movies We Saw in the 70s. I think we're up to number, like, 50-something. Every episode we cover a different movie that I saw in the 1970s, theoretically.
Sure.
When I was a kid. Sure.
What do you do when you run out of movies? Like switch it to the 80s or?
What are you saying? You think I didn't see 70 movies in the 1970s?
No, I'm saying when you get to 70.
Yes. When I hit 70, that's the end of that show.
All right.
And you're right. We might move on to 80 movies I saw in the 80s. You know, we could just keep going. But it's taken me, I don't know, 5 years to get 50 episodes in on that one. That's not like you doing your nightly radio show. It's not even like me doing my other podcast, which is weekly, the Lifers podcast they do with the guys from the band Local H. And we talk about music and we talk about movies and we talk about politics, which is kind of like your show.
Yeah.
We got to get you on one of these days. We got to do like a crossover episode.
Well, you know, you keep saying that, Ben. You know where
I know I do.
You.
I know. That's just for the air.
One of these days, Schwab, we're going to get you on there. Well, it's good to have you, buddy. Hey, do you have a favorite dessert?
I was reading some of the comments. I do love a pecan pie.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple of restaurants that I go to that do these things called brownie sundaes where they sort of have this big slab of brownie and they heat it up and then they drop some ice cream and whipped cream on top of that. That's hard to beat that, honestly.
There you go, Con. That's like,
yeah, that's my favorite.
Oh.
That's Conrad's favorite dessert. So.
Oh, all right. Conrad and I had something in common.
You should have Conrad.
Our love of you, Pete, and our love of brownie sundaes. That's how Conrad and I bond.
So let's do, okay, I didn't know what I should lead with, but I don't want to open with a showstopper, but I also want to get right to the movie that I think you said today, let's just jump into movies, Ben, because you said today, or yesterday. I've seen it five or six times now. I think I know. I think you're talking about one battle after another.
I said I saw it four times, okay, and I'm ready for a fifth. And that is one battle after another.
That is impressive. And this is a guy, you're a movie fan, but you're also picky. I love your opinions. I loved the movie too. Let's just start with One Battle After Another, the latest Paul Thomas Anderson film. Phenomenal cast. It really, there's no weak link in the movie, but I'm dying to hear your thoughts and why you love it so much.
Well, let's talk about the cast. I mean, and it's funny because it's not like every time I see it, anything particularly new is revealed to me, but it's such an entertaining and powerful, and for me, emotional movie. I'm just, every time I leave the theater, I'm like, I'm ready to see it again. Wow. And the other thing is, it's playing in all these slightly different formats. And so that's like catnip to cinephiles like us. We can see it in 70mm, or we can see it in IMAX, or we could theoretically fly to New York or LA and see it in VistaVision, or we could see it on a regular old DCP at our local multiplex. And I've done three of those formats so far. I think there's still two formats that I could theoretically see it in that I have not. But that's not even it. I don't even care. Like the most recent time I saw it, which was yesterday, with my mom, who was visiting in town, I said, "Mom, I've seen this movie three times, but I think you would love it." And so I dragged her over to Flicks Brewhouse, and we just saw a regular old digital cinema screening of it. And it still blew my mind. I loved it every bit as much as I did the first three times.
Did your mom like it?
She loved it.
Yeah.
But my mom's, you know, a hippie, or what, you know, grew up, you know, she was of age in the 60s and early 70s. And she used to drag me to Pete Seeger and Joan Baez concerts. My parents used to take me to Washington, D.C. for Vietnam War protests. Apparently I was there when Martin Luther King gave his big speech in D.C. So, you know, that's kind of the backdrop, sort of, not really of this movie, but that whole sort of protesting and revolution. My parents are totally the nonviolent type, you know.
Right.
And that's not the protagonists in this movie. These people are like violent revolutionaries. But you were saying the cast is powerhouse. And one of the things, what I love most about this movie, I think the more times I watch it, the more I realize sort of every base is covered. It's like a study in contrasts and like balance, in that you've got all these great, well-known actors, Benicio del Toro and Sean Penn, Leonardo DiCaprio, and others. And they're sharing the screen with a bunch of people who, if they've been in a movie before, I haven't seen them. Certainly a lot of them seem like just locals that they picked up. There are all these kids and teenagers in the movie. There's this one guy, I've seen it four times. I still don't even know if he has a name in the movie, but he's the army guy who interrogates everyone.
Yeah.
And gets them all to confess. He blows me away every time. His performance, there are all these like really great sort of like big dramatic actorly performances. And then they're perfectly matched with all of these kind of like, is this guy even an actor?
Yeah.
This is such a, just a realistic performance that you really think this guy just must be in the army and this is what he does for a living. And the fact that those performances can live on the screen together and work as well as they do is one of the things that amazes me about the movie.
I was talking to someone recently on the show, and I was kind of fascinated by Sean Penn's choices. He's very glitchy and kind of, he has these tics, and at first it's like he's trying too hard for me. But he's such a great actor. You just trust him. And by the end of the movie, he's just that guy. It just works. Like, that is a gutsy performance, because you can look like you're trying too hard to be weird or different, but he is that guy, and those guys exist. He's like I don't know. I thought his performance was outstanding. Love Teyana Taylor. I've never even seen her before, but she just steals every scene she's in.
Well, she is the first half hour of the movie.
Yeah,
that's all
exactly.
That's all you see. That's all you think about. She controls the movie, and then she leaves the movie. And that's another amazing thing about the movie. You think you set up this movie with this indelible character, and then they're out of the picture pretty early on. And yet the movie still soldiers on for another 2 hours, and it's every bit as entertaining without her as it was with her.
My guess,
but I want to say about Sean Penn.
Yeah.
It reminds me most, out of all his other performances, it really reminds me most of Spicoli. It's almost this weird mirror image of Spicoli. And I also would say that the other thing, again, with these contrasts and balances, this movie is full of protagonists that are sort of do bad things and are not always likable and not always smart, and full of antagonists who are awful. Sean Penn's character is a monster, and right. yet you still, by the end of it, you kind of feel for him in a way. You feel for his weakness, and you just think about what it is that got him to this point.
Right.
And you kind of feel some pity for him, which I think is amazing.
My guest is Ben Reiser. He is one of the programmers of UW Cinematheque and the Wisconsin Film Festival, and he hosts two great podcasts. We'll tell you about those coming up too. But right now we're talking about the film One Battle After Another. Pardon me. Where was I going to go with this? Pardon me. Sorry.
Benicio del Toro makes me laugh so hard in this movie.
Me too, but is he kind of not wasted, Ben? But I thought he was going to do more. There wasn't a whole lot for him to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's packed. This movie's packed with characters. And yeah. so there's a lot of screen time to be shared by a lot of people. And I think basically everyone to me becomes indelible no matter how much or little screen time they have. And Del Toro, it's true. He's only on screen for maybe another half an hour.
Yeah.
But in that half an hour, he's got maybe four, maybe five all-time great sort of throwaway laugh lines, including when Leonardo DiCaprio tells him all the things that have been happening to him when he first bumps into him. And Del Toro goes, "That's heavy metal, bro." It just cracks right. me up every time.
Let's talk about Leonardo DiCaprio. I mm-hmm. hate whenever I see action comedy, Ben, on a describing a movie, yeah. You typically sure. run. I don't think the yeah. action or the comedy ever delivers. This is all character based, situational. Leonardo DiCaprio is hilarious in this. And when he falls mm-hmm. off the roof, I mm-hmm. laughed out loud. It was me and two other people in the theater, and I laughed hysterically.
I have a couple of guesses as to how they even shot that shot, but it's still every time I think, wow, this somebody just fell off a roof and he got up.
Right.
Like, I'm assuming there's wires involved that have then been digitally erased or something, but it looks so perfect.
It's great. He's so good in the movie. I've read that all six actors could be nominated for an Academy Award. I don't know. That's never been done before, according to what I read. But, you know, I don't know. Regina Hall, or is it Regina King? Regina King.
It's one of those.
Yeah, I always get them mixed up too. But she's really good. I don't know that she or Benicio, they didn't have huge parts. So I don't know. But you're right. Even the bit players were just, they look like real people. Like this is a masterpiece. And I've only seen it once, Ben.
Yeah. What are you waiting for?
I know.
It's almost out of theaters. You know, and first of all, in a way, it's shocking to me that this movie even got released. It certainly seems to have turned off a lot of conservatives, which I think is interesting because I think this film can be read. I mean, okay, sure. It's certainly much more for liberals than it is for conservatives. But I mean, I think that these revolutionaries get their fair share of being teased and made fun of.
Oh, yeah. He makes fun of, I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio was made fun of the whole movie, basically. And they take shots at you know, them for being woke and all. You know, if this movie hurts your feelings as a conservative, I don't think you're really understanding what's going on here because they do take some shots. And frankly, some of the higher ups, the bad guys in this movie, they could just be rich liberals too. There's no, they're not saying. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Oh, I mean, the Christmas Adventurers Club is not a liberal type organization. They're talking about ethnic purity and cleansing the planet of all, you know,
Listen, Ben,
impurities.
They've got their quirks. I hear you. Yeah. I'm just saying. Let me ask you this because I've heard this comparison. Leonardo mm-hmm. DiCaprio with the ponytail and the bathrobe, comparisons to the dude. Qui-Gon and the Star Wars and like, do you see any of that? I see a definite parallel there.
Definitely with the dude. I've also heard he and Benicio, you know, they thought of themselves as doing like a Cheech and Chong movie, and their scenes together. They're driving around. They're literally on the run, but they make time to drink beers while they're driving the whole time. Right. They've got their priorities straight in this movie.
I'm trying to think if I
here's another thing that I was thinking. This is really an almost nonstop action movie, like thriller, like really tense, as only Paul Thomas Anderson seems to be able to do. He's got a bunch of movies where your stomach tightens in the very first scene, and he doesn't let go until the final credits.
Right.
But this is an action movie that I want to say 75% of it is close-ups of people's faces, which is beautiful. Like, it's not... It defies all sort of conventions when it comes to the genre of film that it's trying to do. And I think it is a terrific action movie, but it's a terrific action movie made up of people just really, and you seeing their faces and seeing it actually into their souls sometimes. So,
all right. Ben Reiser is here, folks. We're going to do a very short break and we'll come back. I might ask you to rank, Ben, maybe your top 3 to 5 Paul Thomas Anderson movies. We'll do that when we come back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hello, this is David Zucker, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back. So Sydney Politics on the stream says, I would say pecan pie usually, but also I have liked the Dubai chocolate version of everything. We left that off our list. I love Dubai chocolate. It's like the Netflix of flavors. It's taking over the world. Sydney also says pumpkin pie is boring. Okay, Sydney, I don't know if we need to get confrontational here, but he says cheesecake pumpkin pie is worth something. He's giving us that much. All right. My guest is Ben Reiser. We are talking about the movie One Battle After Another. If you haven't seen it, you got to see it. It's outstanding. Ben has seen it 4 times, looking to go a 5th. So text him if you're interested. We'll give his number out in just a few minutes.
I can't remember the last time I saw a movie 4 times in the theater on its, initial release. If I love a movie, I will try to see it a couple times before it disappears into the world of streaming. And I think, when I put together my annual list of top 10 movies or top 20 movies for Cinematheque, well, I know 1 year, not too long ago, I only listed movies that I'd seen more than once in a movie theater. But I think I saw Anatomy of a Fall twice in a theater. There's probably a handful of movies that I'll see a couple times in a year.
Not to get off on a tangent, Ben, Anatomy of a Fall... And what was one? What was the one about the Holocaust that year? It was the same year.
Zone of Interest.
I aesthetically, I just did not like those movies. I don't know what it was. I mean, both very important stories, great stories. I didn't like the way they were shot, and that means a lot. It's cinema,
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. It's subjective though. Whatever. So, all right. So
I never went back to Zone of Interest. I mean, I think it's an interesting film, but not one that I would run back to. I mean, not just because it's incredibly depressing and
that's part
morbid.
Of
Anatomy of a Fall, I thought was more entertaining. I was kind of taken in by it. Anyway,
So I think the last time I went to see a movie, I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, knowing nothing about it. I don't know how that happened. It was about 3, 4, or 5 years ago. And I went in and I was like, I came out of the theater and I was like, I think I loved that. And I went back. I brought my son Joe with me the next day. And I'm like, and then I think I saw it a 3rd time. Other than that, I haven't done this in a while either, but I will try to see this film again. Where do you put, obviously, I'm assuming this is your favorite film of the year.
Yeah, so far. Although I will say that I probably talked about this last time. I'm having a good time at the movies this year. I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm just getting old and my standards have lowered, but like I kind of went through the summer and with that, which is usually like very hit or miss, but I kind of liked almost everything that I saw.
Did you see Sinners?
We talked about Sinners. I didn't like Sinners. You liked it.
Oh, that's
more
right.
Than I
okay.
did.
All right.
Yeah.
That's the only film I would say those are my top two of the year. And I put One Battle above that, but
yeah, you better when you're talking to me at least.
So, all right, other Paul Thomas Anderson films. How do you rate them? Just give us, obviously, without going through his whole catalog, but I mean, what are your like top three or top five?
Well, I'll just I'll name the ones. You know, I love most of them, and I like the rest of them. There's really only one that I can't even say I really like that much, but I haven't really sat with it and given it that much of a chance. And that one's Licorice Pizza, which is his one that came right before this one.
Yeah.
But other than that, I would say my top, you know, the ones that I think I walked out of the movie thinking, oh my God, that was perfect. Boogie Nights, Magnolia, There Will Be Blood. Maybe that's the one that I've been like, whoa. And Punch Drunk Love, I really like a lot with Adam Sandler.
Okay.
And then of course this one. And I would struggle to rate them within that group, but those are maybe my top five, and they're all sort of great in their own way.
I think I would add Heart 8 to that. I loved Boogie Nights. Mm-hmm. Loved Heart 8. I don't know if it was just because it was a smaller film and I love smaller films, but loved mm-hmm. Boogie Nights, loved Heart 8, really liked Magnolia. Liked There Will Be Blood, and maybe I have to watch it again because everybody I talk to just raves about There Will Be Blood, and it's got Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, come on, you know, but for
right.
whatever
well,
reason.
Talk about a person that takes up the whole movie and is not somebody that you learn to like or
right.
love or root for. So it is a tougher film in that way.
Definitely.
You're spending a lot of time with a guy who's really quite terrifying.
Absolutely. So what other films, if you had to say your other two films, and we'll get into some more specifics after the news, but aside from this one, what would you say your top two films of the year are, Ben, if people were looking for something?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Let me think about
think about that. Break. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about that. And, so we'll do that. And then I just want to say, I wish there were more movies like this.
One of them is Weapons, which I really meant to get back and see a second time in a theater, but didn't. But I loved that movie.
Okay, that's right. I think we talked about that last time.
Did you see Weapons?
I did. I liked it a lot. Very creepy. I think last time you were here, I think I said I liked Barbarian better just because of the... But but they're both great. Like, I liked Weapons. I thought... Yeah, I don't have anything. I would totally be nitpicking if I looked for something, and that's just silly because they're both great films. And Weapons was outstanding. Very creepy. I wanted more Josh Brolin and Ruth from, what's her name, from Ozark.
Right. Okay, here would be my other one would be, I think, Eddington. Also, I've only seen once, but that Ari Aster film that takes place during the pandemic and is really just sort of like this... I don't know if you've ever read any Jim Thompson novels, like really dark noir novels. And it's sort of like a Jim Thompson novel come to life.
Huh.
Eddington.
Okay.
Eddington.
Outstanding. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about, did you see Friendship? I can't remember what you said.
Yes. We showed Friendship. That was our opening night selection at the festival this past year.
So. Oh, that's right. Okay. We'll talk about
it before most people saw it.
We'll talk about Friendship, what's coming up at Cinematheque, and Alien Earth. I'm interested to get your thoughts on, but we mm-hmm. will be back after the news for Act Two with a few more minutes with our pal Ben Reiser and then Mike Kalth from Comedy Sports coming up in hour number two. We will be right back, folks. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.